Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He's done this for years. He was on a nationally televised game and he said, I'm Russell Westbrook. That's what I'm going to be this year, is Russell Westbrook. Point guard, yeah, they won. He was spectacular at times. You're not going to win with your point guard taking 28 shots every single game. You're actually not going to advance in the playoffs when that happens, because you can be guarded in the playoffs, and they will make the playoffs. He also talked about it being wolf season and wouldn't explain what wolf season is. Wolf season wolf is season? I eat the ball. That's wolf season. Okay.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
12 shots in the next game, not on national television. They beat Detroit. You don't have to take as few as 12. You can't take as many as 28 all season long, unless you're trying to be Russell Westbrook to get the MVP award, to get a sneaker deal or something like
Happy
that.
Happy wolf season, Tony.
Happy
sneaker.
Wolf season.
Yeah.
Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here to run the board. Michael Wilbon will join us later. We are at Chatter at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. We're in the capital of the United States of America. A bunch of people are here. Certain people from Salt Lake City who ran in the marathon yesterday are here.
Right.
Very happy about that. Marine Corps marathon.
Did
happy
they finish?
Birthday. Happy birthday to John Carnahan, who is here as well.
Johnny.
A bunch of people are here. It's always nice when people are here. I am going to be, along with Gary Williams, two of the new owners of Chatter. And we had a very good weekend. We did very, very well. I was here Friday night and Saturday
like
night.
True. Very good weekend.
We had a good weekend.
Best weekend ever, believe me.
I'm going to be a celebrity bartender tonight. From about 6:30 to about 7:45, then I'm done. I've never been a bartender. I've never mixed a drink. I don't even know how to pour the beer.
Well, this will end well.
Are you excited? It's so fun. That sounds like fun.
I'm just going to stand there.
Fun.
I'm not going
to. I mean, to
if
look
people
at you.
Order, I will turn to an actual bartender and say, "Do this, please." It is so narrow behind that bar. I'm already having anxiety about standing
being trapped
behind the bar and
just work
to be
for
there.
Those tips.
Yeah, and I don't want.
So
I will
true.
Refuse all tips.
Well, you should say
just
is
keep
all
the bar
tips
shiny.
Will go to charity, Bootsy College Fund or something. Get some legitimate charity, maybe.
ChrisSaliza.com.
I don't want tips.
Okay.
Let them tip the bartenders if they're going to tip anybody. Tip the bartenders.
You are the bartender.
Don't tip me.
We got to put them in your jean shorts.
Celebrity. I'm the celebrity bar. By the way,
here's a tip for the bartender: go work at a place that isn't going out of business.
We
are a real job.
We're doing very well.
Oh, good.
No, we had a good weekend.
Bigly weekend.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
No, we had. I was here.
Happy to hear that.
Friday and Saturday, chatted people up, took photos, walked around. We had great weather. So the problem with the outdoor part, and the outdoor part is nice. The problem is, people order a glass of wine and sit there for 4 hours, and what
yes.
you want to do yeah. is move them.
Get out.
You know, you want to churn it just a little bit, but I would never do that. I'm not going to say that. We had one incident with a woman. We had a wings incident with a woman.
I was
surprisingly nice, because when I walked out of here, what I was thinking was, can I run her over with a bus?
Yeah.
But I didn't do that.
Well, let me offer nice. that any outdoor seating
done,
that you are enjoying
now.
On October 21st
it's gravy.
Is gravy.
Total
so,
gravy.
Yeah.
Total gravy. Let's get to
weekend.
Get to the show. Let's start with the World Series is set. Houston, as predicted by me, many, many times.
Michael though, and I as well, I believe.
Though people said, you know, the Yankees, 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 as Wilbon said, the team of your youth. No, it's not the team of my youth. I was never a Yankee
Mets
fan.
Guy, right?
I'm from
Mets,
New York, yeah. but I'm fine with them, but I'm not a Yankee fan. Houston rode Justin Verlander, who once again was great. Game six, absolutely great. And then the combination of two starters, Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers Jr., he never went to his bullpen.
Nope.
Hinch either never had to or never did, and the analytics people told him, throw nothing but curveballs to the Yankees. And at one point late in the game, McCullers threw 24 straight curveballs. So it's Fox is upset because it's not the Dodgers and the Yankees. And Houston, although Houston is the fourth largest city in the country, Houston will not draw at all. They will not draw at all. They really won't. But it's for the first time, I read this, since 1970, there's two teams with over 100 wins. So, I mean, if you like baseball, you ought to be happy with this matchup.
Doesn't Verlander, Kate Upton help that a little bit in terms of national?
If
I guess
Upton,
it's at the margin.
If they made Kate Upton, which they
the
should,
field.
The first base
yeah,
coach,
I agree.
Yes.
Then that would help tremendously.
I mean, because
you're looking forward to
ball girl.
I am.
Maybe
yeah.
then the game goes to network and not cable.
That's right.
Right. Well, it's network. I mean, it'll be Fox.
Fox.
It won't be FS1, will it? 8:57 on my dial, be 8:05 on my dial. I'm assuming
I think the World Series is on broadcast.
Yes.
Is on network.
It
Smoltz is
on
great,
Fox.
By the way.
Oh, he is terrific. He's the Tony Romo of baseball.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yes, I am excited. I mean, I like baseball, but I'm more excited about something that we'll talk about later, about future. I'm still very Nats focused.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it'll be a good. Those are two great teams.
I think
excellent teams. I have a little built-in. I guess disdain is too strong a word, but I'm disinclined to like the Dodgers while I appreciate them. And I think, and a lot of people might feel this way, but I think given what Houston has gone through recently, they'll be an easy team to sort of pull for, sort of a feel-good story.
I agree with you. I want to make this point because it's a matter of English. We have at least two English majors here. There is a strong difference between I don't like and I dislike.
Oh, talk to me about that.
Dislike is active. Dislike that
That's
person.
Right.
Don't like just
take
means,
it or leave it.
It's, you know, I don't like them. I'm not going to be. I don't care to be around them. But it's not nearly as important as dislike.
So where prefer, on that spectrum does
do you dislike
not care
the
for land in the middle
in between?
Mind. Yeah.
Do yeah, you to me it's
do like you dislike you, me?
I do not. Dislike the Dodgers, like I would say I dislike the Dallas Cowboys, but right. I more than don't like them. So I would say I do not care for them.
Michael, serious?
I don't like the Dodgers, but I'm warming to them. And again, it comes back to Justin Turner and the pitching and really what Dave Roberts is doing with
the
bullpen and the bench. So
he puts a lot of people in, unlike other managers.
I look at the ALCS and it reminded me of an NBA playoff series. There was a lot of action in the middle games, but in the end, it was one on your home field or on your home court, and the team that you thought had the chance, the young team that might play above its station, ended up seeing what the other side was really like, and you still see that they have another year or two to develop. So it was interesting to see that play out, even with all that offense in the middle games. I'm okay with it not being New York versus LA. I think this year in particular, Houston has enough to carry that, and baseball people will love to see this. And
getting
I think
Verlander
the Verlander is the key.
Verlander, getting Verlander.
The one thing I will
Verlander
say.
Verlander and Darvish,
yes.
The two most sought-after pitchers at the trade deadline, both still in it, both active.
The only thing that's weird still for me is I just grew up with Houston being an – I mean, my whole life, Houston was a National League team.
Yeah.
So I still struggle. Like, it's just weird to me that they're
well,
in
that
the
Well, that was done because for much of your life, it was 16-14,
right.
And they wanted a more
right.
balanced
I mean,
schedule.
It makes sense.
Do you know game time temp for game one?
95, I think.
That's hot.
Is yeah. that oh. for real?
Dodgers, there's some –
It closed – Oh, no, they, yeah. that's in L.A. I was going to say it's in Houston. That's in L.A.
Well, they
oh,
can
my.
Close it
in
Houston.
Houston. Right.
No, it's going to – And not only is it going to be 95-99 – but the sun is still out for an hour or so, yeah. just
wow.
crushing the pitchers in the Whoa. Head.
Work wouldn't be able to field balls.
And NFL.
Sun isn't us.
Biggest story to me, I could be wrong on this. I would say number one is Patriots. Patriots killing the Falcons in a rematch of the Super Bowl. The Falcons are going down the drain. They're going down the drain. If you look up what happens to teams that lose in the Super Bowl the next year, more often than not, they do not make the playoffs. Yeah. The Falcons are down the drain. The New England Patriots allowed in their first six games 300 yards passing to every single rum-dum who was the quarterback of the other team.
I think that's the first time that had ever been done.
History of football. They held Matty Ice, the MVP last year, to 233 yards.
Many of which were garbage yards.
So if you, I mean, honestly, if the Patriots defense gets to where it was last year, they're going to the Super Bowl again. Because nobody's any good.
I was going to say, it does not look
well,
like there's a
nobody's
good team.
Pittsburgh
any good.
Is looking increasingly good.
Yes.
As Le'Veon Bell rounds into form, and they could maybe put up some resistance. But I would largely agree with you. The Falcons, on top of the hangover, I mean, not just losing, but losing the way they lost. And then on top of that, losing their offensive coordinator, who I think increasingly
yes.
you can say.
I think this is true. Even though, so Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator who can be blamed for losing the Super Bowl in the sense that he kept throwing and kept throwing and kept throwing and allowed New England to get back into it. And you can look at him now and they're 0-6 or 0-7 and they were trounced by Dallas
right.
yesterday. And you could say, well, what's the big deal with him? But it must have been a big deal to Matt Ryan because they've got Steve Sarkisian who has reasonable credentials, yep. although some off-the-field issues. But they're nothing compared to what they were last year. And they've got great receivers, and they've got great running backs, and they're nothing.
No. When they scored on a, I think it was like a 4-yard pass to Julio Jones
late.
Last night, late, that ended a scoreless drought of 91 and a half minutes. That's a game and a half.
And
the Falcons have gone without scoring a point.
Given
and that
those
was the
weapons.
That was the highest. I think it was the highest scoring offense in football. Certainly most yards last year.
Last year.
By the way, to your question about what do Super Bowl losing teams do the next year? 43.5% missed the playoffs altogether. None have reached the Super Bowl.
Did you just know that?
Oh, yeah, off the top of my head,
wow,
yes. I do a lot of independent research.
A couple of things to look at. Number one, Brett Hundley does nothing.
Brett Hundley
does nothing.
Both
12 of 25 for 87 yards and a pick. So Jeff Ma, and Jeff Ma was great. Jeff Ma was 3-1, but when Jeff Ma said, you know, you're giving too much credit to Aaron Rodgers,
maybe
the
not.
Answer is you're not giving too much credit to Aaron Rodgers. Ezekiel Elliott was everything, and he's going out.
At some point,
he's going to go
that
out.
That was a going away gift for his fantasy owners.
Yeah, Chuck Todd's kid.
Yeah.
Chuck Todd's kid.
Spike has him as well.
Right, made the great move. Ezekiel Elliott rushing 26 for 147.
Well, I mean,
and two touchdowns, and one catch for 72 yards and another touchdown. So if you had Ezekiel Elliott yesterday and you didn't win, who else did you have on your team? Because he got like 40 points, right?
Yes. Yes, he did.
He got 40 points.
It's a good fantasy.
Jay Cutler breaks a rib. Carson Palmer breaks an arm. Two old quarterbacks
his own,
out for extended period of time.
Both their own.
And Eli Manning, and that was the one game Jeff Ma lost, and they were winning into the fourth quarter.
And then they
points.
Just collapsed.
Eli Manning.
Terrible.
He's now Peyton Manning
in
the last couple of years.
Doesn't pay to
I think you would take Peyton Manning in the last, except for the last year.
134 yards.
Terrible. Trubisky-esque.
Well, the
threw seven times, Trubisky. But they
four
won.
For seven.
That's
four
another
seven.
Jeff Ma
rough.
Win.
Four for right. seven. Hey, you got to know what you got.
That game, I'm going to get back to Eli in a second, but that Chicago
passes.
Bears game.
It's amazing.
What?
Not only seven passes, their rushing stats. Jordan Howard, 21 for 83. Trubisky, 5 for 3. That's 26 plus 7. That's 33 plays, Tony. 33 plays in a game.
Well, they also had the defender who scored two touchdowns.
Right.
It's purely defense. I mean, it's like the Jaguars. Blake Bortles, not good,
so
but they win.
Maybe Chicago, we'll get Wilbon. We'll ask. Maybe Chicago's pretty good. If they can hold you down like that,
defense
no matter
great.
What, maybe Chicago's pretty good. Any other takeaways in the NFL yesterday that you would...
No,
the Rams are good, just very quick. The Rams look great. I mean, they looked really strong.
Heard that here first, I think.
I mean, they're now 5-2. They won 33-0.
You know what? I'll ask Wilbon this. Is it possible that Sean McVay is special?
I mean...
They were terrible last year.
They're 5-2.
And he's 24 years old, and he's the head coach. And they're good now. Yeah. And Jared Goff was terrible last year.
I mean, they were basically resigning Jared Goff to the trash heap. I mean, it was like, well, that we blew this. And now suddenly he's at worst capable. At best, he can be pretty good.
The Kirk Cousins to the Rams talk has all but stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but it's the Kirk Cousins to the 49ers talk has not stopped. Has it?
Locked that up.
Right, has not stopped.
Chargers-Denver is one other one.
They've won three in a row, the Chargers.
Denver shut out first time since 1992. They're bad.
Is that right?
Offensively, yeah.
Well, that's Wilbon's boy. Trevor Siemian.
And one other one of just weird, written off and now back, the Saints have now won four in a row.
Yes.
Saints are suddenly good now.
It's crazy.
You don't trust
the league is crazy.
No, but I think it's a function of the league. I mean, even the Patriots are not, you know, the two
That's
best
right.
teams right now, three best teams are Patriots, Chiefs, Eagles as of right now by
Steelers.
Record,
Again,
right?
Yeah, I was going to say Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steelers.
Okay.
They are.
I mean,
they are
you scared of any of
and
those
And Vikings,
teams?
Sneaky good. No. You know, they lost Dalvin Cook early.
They just don't look like they're
Sam
any good when you watch them.
But they're doing it with no quarterback. Without
is it Case
it looks
Keenum
like they,
still, Gary?
Receiver, yeah. Yeah, it looks like they keep playing teams that are 0-8. Like their entire schedule is based on beating 0-8 teams. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Michael Wilbon joins us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. In need of great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. Just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you can still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidate? ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this high-quality pod can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That is ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, which seems like a good deal.
It does,
doesn't
it?
For free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Nashville Steve Rempis, who writes, La Cheeserie from Nashville, Tennessee. Greetings to the fine folks at Chatter, Nigel, you too. Nashville Steve here with another great song from my band Incognito Cartel. That's a good name.
It's pretty good.
Incognito Cartel. The song is Full Throttle. It will surely get your toes tapping. The song's from our EP, In a World Turned Upside Down. It's available on the iTunes Store, Amazon.com, CD Baby, or even Target.com. And the website is IncognitoCartel.com. If any littles are in the Nashville area, love to see them. Very nice. Appreciate that. Playing in Michael Wilbon. Let's start with something near and dear to your heart, which is Northwestern. Northwestern had another win, didn't they?
We beat Iowa in overtime, Tony.
Right, and so your record is what, like 5-2, something like that?
Well, 4-3.
Oh,
the losses are not. Listen, we lost to Penn. We lost to Penn State and at Wisconsin.
Oh, those are good losses.
We lost at Duke, and so those are the losses. We've in successive weeks. We won at Maryland and beat Iowa at home, and we had a big game against Michigan State this week, which would be nice to win. I don't know. Michigan State's pretty good.
So
they should have lost this week to Iowa.
To
Indiana.
The big game this week will be Penn State at Ohio State.
Yes.
Before we get to that, and I know you want Jim Harbaugh to coach the Bears, although I will tell you that John Fox, who I don't think much of.
Backing off now a little bit.
Well, he's doing very well. But let's get to this. I think Jim Harbaugh is great for Michigan. I think that he brings excitement and flair and just stuff to everything he does. But they lose. They got killed by Penn State.
Yeah,
at Penn State.
They laid the wood to them, yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, his record is terrible. Are there any second thoughts, do you think, in Michigan about Harbaugh?
No. No, there could be second thoughts coming. You got to see how this season plays out. Look, they were not – I mean – Penn State's a better team right this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Penn State, Franklin has really got them going. They've you know, they're going to have another couple of good years. I don't know that they – I don't know what his ambitions are. You know, does he – is this the job where he stays and spends the bulk of his career? Or does he have other aspirations? Is the NFL in his head? I don't know what his aspirations are, but – Penn State is really good. Ohio State is really good. We'll see. But I don't think there's regret. I mean, where else? Look, Tony, all these programs have gone through, and by these programs, I mean the top 20 programs over the last 30 or 50, even 50 years. They've gone through this thing where they think it's their birthright to win 11 games
yes.
and play in the national championship. And so finally, schools like Nebraska and even Michigan – they have fired people who could win them 9 games a year, and they didn't like that. If they weren't ranked number one at the end of the year before the playoffs started, they didn't like that. And they went out and they fired good people. And most of those programs now, and basically that means I think all the ones outside of the SEC East, they understand that it ain't the world ain't like that anymore. College football has, you know, it's still fewer teams than any other sport, but it's got – you know, 40 teams is another 20 that sort of pop up every now and then and can beat you and can win 10 games themselves. So I think at Michigan now, and I'm related to and close to a lot of people from Michigan, I think they're of the mindset now that they know that, you know, they can't win it every year, and this is not going to be one of them.
I would tell you that the most surprising thing to me in all of college football, if you pin me down, is that Florida State has 4 losses already.
Well, when they lose a quarterback.
Well, but a lot of teams, Clemson lost a quarterback. Notre Dame lost a quarterback. I mean, people, Michigan lost their starting quarterback. Florida
yeah, but
State.
That's at the end of the year, not in the. They lost theirs in the season.
Yeah, they lost it in the first game.
Yeah, you know.
Four losses is so many for them.
It is. So, I mean, look, Florida State's had, Florida State had a couple of down years. It's not like, they're not Alabama.
No.
They're in the next tier.
That's right.
They're going to have to suffer through this one. They already are.
Notre Dame also looks pretty good when you consider their only loss is a one-point loss to Georgia, which is an undefeated team.
And SC, that was the most surprising result of the weekend.
Yeah. Crushed them.
The way they just pounded them. And I was that made me sort of happy. All the Dodger fans who were in Chicago just stayed there and put on the red caps as opposed to the blue ones. And they were just sort of taking over the town over the weekend. So I was glad to see them get theirs.
All right, speaking of the Dodgers and Los Angeles and USC, the Astros, as predicted by me, beat the Yankees twice in Houston. We have Verlander and Darvish added to two quality teams that each won more than 100 games. As you look ahead to the series, what do you think?
I don't know. I've been watching the Astros, and I watched a lot of baseball the last 3 years. And I've seen the Astros, come along, sort of like the Cubs did, about the same timing, actually. And I've watched a little bit, but I don't watch them enough. I mean, I see much more of the Dodgers. I expect the Dodgers to I shouldn't say I expect them. That's not true. I'm rooting for the Dodgers to win because they beat my team. Like, my team just lost only to the champions.
Right.
So I'm sort of rooting for them. I can't sit here and break it down. I marvel at Altuve in a lot of situations. And the Houston roster, which people are still not familiar with, you really get familiar with these things in a World Series. If you're a Johnny-come-lately team like the Astros are, you're not the Yankees, Red Sox, and on television every freaking day.
Right.
National TV. You become familiar with them during the World Series. I'm familiar with them, but I don't know enough about the breakdown of what they do against left-handed pitching, what they do in certain situations. And so I'd like to see the Dodgers win, but I'm not even wed to that. I mean, given what Houston's been through, I'm okay. I like the fact that the Astros and the Rockets seem to be poised, or already one of them and the other one poised to do well and sort of lift the community that could use it. They lost J.J. Watt, who seems to be the most popular guy in town. I don't have a big rooting favorite, Dodgers again, because they beat the Cubs.
All right, let me get to Dusty Baker. We will sit around here and talk about this later in the show. Dusty Baker was let go, and you and I had this conversation because you saw that happen in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And explain to the people how, what the people in Chicago ultimately felt about Dusty Baker and his entire staff, because that did surprise me a little that they killed the entire staff.
Well, it seems to me because I was here the day it happened. No, I wasn't here the day it happened. I haven't been in town. But
right.
But the feeling is, even before it happened, Dusty's a fine man and a really good manager. I looked up his record last night. That became a discussion in our house. And young Matthew says, "Dad, why fire Dusty Baker?" And I read him Dusty's record, which even surprised me. I mean, Dusty, had a better than 530 winning percentage in like three places. I think it's 540 here. It was near that in San Francisco. I'm pretty sure he was over 500 in Cincinnati. The only place where over the entire tenure he wasn't 500 was in Chicago. It was like 494 or something like that. But the point about Dusty is this, Tony. He was able to both develop teams. The Giants went through a period where they won 103 games the first year he was there. They took a dip. He was able to ride that out, develop a team. Players loved playing for him.
Yes.
The teams were always professional. He represents the franchise well. The executives at all those places will tell you there was one failing. They didn't win championship. They got close to San Francisco, the closest. They got close to Chicago. But they didn't win. And ultimately now, in those markets, the ones he was in, they wanted to win it all, and they saw Dusty as lacking. And he's a fine man. He is. If anybody who knows Dusty, nobody's going to tell you they don't want Dusty around. That would be just a lie, or it'd be short-sighted. Now, the question is this. After having gotten rid of, you know, Davy Johnson and Matt Williams, who was cut from a different cloth, actually. Davy Johnson and Dusty seem to be cut
they're the
from,
same.
From staying,
they're
yeah.
the same.
They were, again, who wouldn't describe Davy Johnson that way? Are they gonna, what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Who are they going to get?
Don't
who are they going to get that they know they start off with 90 wins?
Don't know.
With Dusty, you're going to get 90. He's going to get you 88 or more wins. He's done it so many times in his career at three different stops. All three. So, you know, I'm not going to say he's a perfect manager. And I know it usually deals with pitching and decisions that are made late in the season or postseason. But, wow. I mean, Dusty's teams are always – what did he win here? 97 and 95?
95 right? and 97. Yeah, so, that it leads to an interesting question. You've covered football, you've covered baseball, you've covered basketball. I think baseball managers are more influential than the head coaches in the other two sports. I do. What do you think?
No. Football.
You think football? The head coach.
Look, I mean, you can find a case where it's, you know, you can find situations where you look at the NBA, you look at Greg Popovich and what he does year after year. You say, oh my God. Okay, yes, they have. There's influence there. And you look at baseball, and yes, the day-to-day, and first of all, just the day-to-day and keeping a team emotionally and psychologically prepared to play and how you handle pitching, those two things are enormously
That's why I think baseball, but you say football.
No.
Football. You don't think Belichick football. Could win 90 games with the Nats versus what Dusty could do with the Patriots?
Well,
I mean, Belichick, what good football coaches do, no matter where they are, and what guys who are just fluff can't do no matter what talent they have. I mean, it's football. I mean, I'm convinced. Nobody could convince me that it's not football. And it's college football even more than pro football.
All right, so
Jim Harbaugh. I mean, if Jim Harbaugh goes, who's got the worst program in the – if Jim Harbaugh goes to Rutgers, they're going to win. They're going to win 9 games.
All right, well, then let me ask you this, and I don't know how closely you paid attention to this. This kid, Sean McVay, who was the offensive coordinator for the Redskins and now is the head coach at the Rams, who I think 5-2.
Yeah.
Is it possible he's the next guy?
Sure. Now, I don't think next guy necessarily means like a Bill Walsh run or a Joe Gibbs run. I don't think it necessarily means that. But, come on, that guy, I mean, they go out and they put the screws to people. They crush people.
It's just amazing. They were terrible.
Out of nowhere, they crush people.
Yeah.
He's got this kid Goff playing.
Yeah. Jeff Fisher didn't want him on the premises.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe. I there's so much hype surrounding. Now, there's so much praise surrounding sports now that you to cut through it, you know, sometimes you just got to wait. And just see what somebody does over the long haul. And I don't mean you got to judge him in 5 years. I just let's see this season. But Tony, I'm looking at them now and marveling at the Rams. I think that they're sort of the story of the year. So does anybody have 6 wins? No, the Eagles could have 6 after tonight.
They could, but
5 is the most, and the Rams are one of them.
The Rams are one of them. It leads me to this: are you perhaps underrating your Bears? Your Bears
are
very.
I'm going to observe and acknowledge that they're getting better. But Tony, before we go crazy and before you sit there today and say on PTI set, which is funny and it's fine to do this because you're taking a shot at me, which is great, that you don't like the quarterback. The
He's
quarterback completed
7
4 passes yesterday.
He threw 7 times.
4 for 7.
You have to go back to literally the 1920s in college football before Newt Rockne.
No, you know, all you have to do is go back to another Bear team. You can find it.
7?
This is what we do. And, Tony, there's such pride in that team now because that's how we roll.
Right.
Interception for touchdown.
Yes.
Fumble
Picked up fumble.
For touchdown.
Yeah.
That's Peter Tillman. That's you know, Sean Gale and Dave Duerson. That's how we roll. That's how we want to win. That's why you drafted Sean Watson. But nevertheless, I'm impressed that they understand, Fox understands, the culture of that place and what he can build there. And the quarterback is not anything yet. He's not even Jimmy. He's not Jimmy.
Not
I mean, probably
nope.
never be that.
Nope.
One more time, four for seven. Do you understand that the Bears had more sacks yesterday than they had first downs?
Wilbon, they only had, we talked about this earlier.
They won convincingly.
They only had 33 plays, 33 offensive plays.
You know what? Listen, there's a great story. There's a great story where, and I'm hearing this story from Dick Butkus, the Dick Butkus, yes. And he tells a story. It happened again later with Richard Dent, that the offense would do something completely miserable and the Bears are trying to win a game like this, 10-7 over the Vikings and the Packers, and it's cold. And Butkus would say to Sayers, to the great Gale Sayers, as they walked off the field, hey, you guys just stay over there for a while. We'll let you know when we need you. Okay? And Richard Dent has said that also to Tommy Waddle, Tony, who of course hosts ESPN 1000 in Chicago. And Waddle repeats the story. Dent says, nice job out of you guys. See, you can hold them while we're over here getting a rest. And so that's what that franchise understands. We don't have quarterbacks and receivers. We don't do that. So Fox understands that. The first down of the second half that the Bears had came with 3 minutes left in the half.
They won the game convincingly.
They won convincingly.
They
did.
And at some point, there was no way that Cam Newton was going to get anything more than a first down or two in a drive. I was on the texting with Waddle. It's great to be able to text with a guy who was like on what many of us think is the greatest team of all time. Constantly texting with Tommy Waddle, and I love this team now playing that way. Hit somebody in the mouth. We don't wait on pretty boy quarterbacks. That's not what we do.
All righty. All right, I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. Nigel will come back with the news. When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel has two of these suits, right?
Yes, I do.
And you've enjoyed them very much so far. You don't get to wear a suit all that often.
Well, there's not really occasions for me other than parole hearings and things like
right,
that.
But right.
I saw him at your celebration
in a suit
with an Indochino.
Looked very good.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah, looked very good.
10 out of 10.
People look good in suits. Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special occasion, like a parole hearing. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men, now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom, or more probably, you shop online at Indochino.com, Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order, and you wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. Now the Tony Kornheiser Show listeners can get Indochino's best deal ever. This is $359 for any premium suit when you enter the code TONYK during checkout. Wilbon has socks that cost more than that. $359 is good. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com. The promo code is TONYK for any premium suit for just $359. Excuse me. And you get free shipping. That's good. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I met a girl the other day, and she said, wow, Amy, you're different from the other men I see. Well, I said, I'm different because I got soul, baby.
This is Matt Fleming. Westlake Village, California, who writes, I'm a loyal big. I can't seem to let myself be referred to as a little by a shrinking little orange man. I've been a regular watcher of PTI for many years. I stumbled across your podcast. I've listened to it regularly ever since. I want to thank you for many hours of entertainment over this period. Although I won't go the little route or ever in my life yell out that cheese statement in a crowd of people. I nonetheless recommend your show to many of my friends. I've always wanted to email you something witty or enlightened, but I've yet to come up with anything. I took this shot sending in a song off the album of a dear friend of mine, Eamon Doyle, with his consent, of course, hoping that he will begin listening while also getting my name and email read on your show. The title of the song is I've Got Soul. I'm sure you and your listeners will enjoy it very much. Lastly, me and the woman I'm related to by marriage had a baby boy about a month after Bootsy, and I laughed at his grandpa because he isn't much of a holder of his little grandson just like you. He will go so far as to touch the child from time to time. Enjoy the song, and if anyone is interested in more of my friend Eamon's music, his new album is available on all the usual platforms. Michael, this is wonderful music.
This is great.
When people send in for themselves or their friends, how do they do it?
It's a great email, too. They can send their music or their friends' music to jingles at tonycornizershow.com.
And we have touch a perfect Bootsy, you poke him.
I touch him, I hold his fingers.
Oh, well, you let him grab your finger.
When you shake his foot, his fingers.
You let him grab.
Grab your finger.
Yes.
That's a good bit.
Baby chimp grip on the finger.
Yes, and I touch Bootsy, though I haven't seen Bootsy all that much because they don't bring him over.
Will you
they
go,
don't call
and
on
they've
your
never
birthday?
Said, they've never said, would you come over and see the baby?
They probably know you won't.
Or have they asked you to come over and touch the baby?
Parking is terrible in my neighborhood. Yeah, I already know the answer.
Listen, you don't need to explain yourself, Michael. Yeah, we all understand why that call's never been made.
Yeah, yeah.
Bootsy is with the little Lucas, his little cousin, this week.
Yeah, we have a full house this week. Yeah.
I saw the shot of the
little,
two of them.
Little babies are out there. Doing
the move
baby
is do the double finger grab, and then you lift the arms up like the full touchdown.
I wouldn't do that. I'd be afraid
to lift
them up. What if
he dropped?
You're afraid they might come off? Might tear the arms off?
I wouldn't do that. Do you have some news for us? Oh, by the way. Well, we have a sketch artist here, probably a police sketch artist. What is the name he goes by?
Pancakes? At Pancake. I was not prepared
on the
for
table.
This. At Pancake for Table.
So it's really nice, and he's sketching us.
Number four.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, but a nice sketch. I tweeted that out at Braun Film.
Oh, yes, I want to say a quick word for people that want to do podcasts, because we had some podcasts here over the weekend. Gary Williams, Coach Williams, doing a show on Sunday nights here.
Yeah.
Coach's show. The guys from Rebel Run Sports were here yesterday afternoon. It was a nice crowd for you as well, Sunday.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've got lots of great shows. So if you're interested in doing a podcast, reach out to us.
We will charge you rent.
Yes,
but it will be cheaper than anybody else's rent.
And this is a good setup, folks.
Great
if you've
setup.
Not seen it, come
and
down
if you
and
bring
it.
Your friends and they drink and eat, we'll be very happy.
Yes, because this is a for-profit venture.
It is.
Yes. So TonyCornizershow.com. And before we and by the way, I did love that song. I've got sold. I actually purchased that and listened to it all weekend.
Good
it's
song.
A terrific song.
Good song.
I'm going to start with a correction. And I hate to do this for Michael Wilbon, whom I love dearly, but he made a reference to Tom Waddle as being part of the greatest.
Does that all the time.
Yeah, but Tom
it's
Waddle
not true.
Did not join the Bears until 1989.
It's not true. He just likes to do it.
Seems like you're wrong, Nigel, not Mike.
He likes to do it. And we let him do it because he's Wilbon.
Yeah, whatever.
And he's Wilbon.
Yes. Sounds good.
He gets laughed. I mean,
talking to Dick Butkus.
If you want to question a Fourth Estate Award winner,
exactly.
I don't think that's very respectful.
How many Fourth
whatever.
Estate Awards do you have?
Not many. Yeah. Not as many as you might think.
Right.
We'll start off with baseball, Mr. Tony. A couple managers were named over the weekend. One sort of interrupting the Nationals' plans. They had wanted to talk to Alex Cora, but he will now be the 47th manager of the Boston Red Sox.
Played there.
Yes, played there. Won a World Series there in 07. And I believe he was teammates with Dustin Pedroia at that time. So
and bilingual.
Yes.
Which is
well,
increasingly
he would have been teammates with everyone
baseball.
On the team at that time.
Increasingly
I was
important.
Fascinated.
Right?
I read I think it was Chelsea Jane's piece about potential Nationals managers. And
pointed
every
out who was
one
bilingual.
Of them, it's, I thought that was so, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but I had never seen that before.
Yeah, he'd be a pretty big switch from John Farrell, who did quite well there, won three division titles and one World
if
Series.
If you're upset at the Nats firing Dusty, John Farrell won a World Series and got canned.
Yeah.
Yep.
And finished first.
Yes.
This year.
Right.
Mickey Callaway is
going
to be the new manager of the Mets as Terry Collins stepped out. He beat out.
Like his driver, don't know him.
I was going to say.
Big Bertha.
Yeah, did he beat out Freddie Ping, Alistair
like
Mizuno, and
Freddie
Hank
Ping?
Titus. Yes, no, I'm kidding.
Freddie Ping and Mizuno.
Exactly. Yeah.
And TaylorMade.
They
all were up for it, but only Callaway got it. So, yeah, I guess he was the pitching coach for the Indians and did quite
all
well.
All you have to do, if you manage the Mets, if you're lucky enough that the great young pitchers
just keep them healthy,
don't go out with sore arms, you're going to win 90.
Yes. And we will go to college football right now. And we will start off. Usually when Georgetown scores 9 points.
They win.
That means they're going to get a win. But this time wasn't enough. They fell 17-9. Despite trailing only 8-6 at halftime.
Yeah, usually their scores are. I mean, if you recall the Princeton and Harvard losses, we're losing like 50-30.
Right, it's a much
this
better
This was
effort.
A much.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
Fordham
focused,
is not as good as the Ivy League schools.
I'm not sure that.
Either academically or in football.
Well, they beat us 13-9.
They are now 2-6. The Hoyas just 1-6 on the season.
Oh, who was
that? Oh,
that
was the battle of the bad teams, and you lost it. Where was that game?
I think it was at Cooper Field in Georgetown.
Georgetown.
Oh,
that's
a bad
loss.
Can I make a
plug on brighter news?
Yes.
The Georgetown men's soccer team just beat Maryland,
which is a big
win.
Wow.
Which is a huge
a
win
one.
And are in the
that
top
is
10.
Big.
That's sorry, I'm
oh,
just
top
trying,
10 nationally.
Yes,
oh,
trying to pivot.
Top 10.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead. What else?
Good distraction.
Thank you.
The other teams in college football, Notre Dame absolutely destroyed USC.
Yeah, Notre Dame and Penn State were great.
Yeah, Penn State with a big win.
Now Notre Dame gets Miami.
Yes.
So that
battle of
Miami
nine,
is
eight.
A team that wins very late much of the time. So we'll see.
And Penn State goes to Ohio State this weekend, and what surely is the biggest game of the season.
And Wisconsin's going to have to play somebody at some point, and Georgia is probably going to have to play Alabama in the SEC championship. So we're going to winnow the field. The only team that seems to get the free ride is TCU. At the moment.
Yep. Well, I shouldn't say potential, although it is theoretically potential, but the interesting setup would be an undefeated Georgia loses to Alabama, misses out on the playoffs because a one-loss Notre Dame gets in when Notre Dame's one-loss would beat Georgia. That would be like the blow-it-up scenario.
Yeah.
To the NBA, the Phoenix Suns have decided to make a switch at head coach, which is understandable.
What took so long?
After three games, they fired Earl Watson and named Jay Triano as the interim head coach.
Three games. They lost by an aggregate of 92 points.
Well,
they fired him and his whole staff. They should have deported them.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
What was the aggregate loss total?
92.
Okay, because I know the second game they lost 132 to 130. So they lost the first and third games by an aggregate of 90.
How is that possible?
Well,
and
also,
then they brought in this guy Triano. Was he on the staff? I thought they came
They fired the whole staff.
Well, Watson was interim last year. So he got a handful of games in last year. And then I read that this was reportedly the second quickest firing in NBA history.
Who got fired after one or two?
I've been researching it this morning. I see Mike Brown went after five.
How is that possible?
We all remember that. Westfall after seven.
Somebody went after one or two.
Wow.
One or two. Yep, I've seen enough. Get out.
Was maybe McHale?
No. Kevin McHale?
No, he was long. I mean, he would have resigned. Is that the same?
You don't fire Kevin McHale after one or two games.
Kevin McHale fires himself. The thing that's odd is, Eric, you're not big on the social media, but Eric Bledsoe, a Kentucky kid who is there
now,
is good, but kind of duplicative because they've got a bunch of good point guards. They have Devin Booker, too. tweeted out, "I don't want to be here."
That's it.
Where was he when he tweeted that?
I don't know if it was a location specific, but DeAndre Jordan responded, "Come back home, bro."
So
to the Clippers,
right? Because
he was on the Clippers,
and they lost a point guard.
Bryce Harper didn't tweet anything about playing with him, did he?
No, he's not in New York.
Yeah. What else do we have?
It was the end of RFK.
What does that mean?
It means the last main tenant has finally left. DC United finished out their season, losing 2-1, and they are leaving.
They stink, right?
Yeah, they pretty much stink.
Like they don't make the playoffs at all.
Tony, I'm sorry to interrupt with this breaking news, but I just discovered in 1971, the Buffalo Braves, after just one game, fired. You want to take a stab?
The only Buffalo Braves coach I remember is Jack Ramsey. So.
Dolph Schayes. I don't know
Dolph Schayes after one game.
Fired him after one game.
One game.
What could he have done?
Lost?
I don't know.
Yeah, lost. Yeah.
Fair.
Actually, it
he
says
lived
he was
in Syracuse. He was commuting.
That's
from Syracuse to Buffalo.
So that's going
to
be a hard one to beat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Nigel.
So, no, that's all right. DC United is moving to a new facility at Buzzards Point. And there will
the
be
Audi
no...
Center or Audi Field?
Yes.
Or what
Ally. Like that. Yes.
Ally?
Audi.
Audi?
Like the belly button.
Yes. Oh, great. Right.
Yes. And so that's it for sports, really, at RFK.
I understand there's a lot of bleeding heart cheerleading that goes on about this. I get that. But most people in this city, once the Redskins moved out, didn't even remember that RFK existed.
Right.
Except with the notion that it would be turned into a baseball field when the Nationals came back, which is not what happened. Now, I still think that down the road, that site could end up as the stadium site for the Washington Redskins.
I think
that could happen. But did you ever, maybe Chris did, I never in my life had a conversation about the DC United and RFK. I mean, I never had that.
No.
I know what a dump RFK is, but it's like our dump. It was a great dump.
Right.
And the stands bounced up and down and scared you to death. But the fact, making so much of this that a soccer team is leaving.
Your point is that it was over years ago.
It was, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, I would say, though, that DC United, they are bad right now, but DC United does
they were
have
good.
A very loyal
about 20,000 people, and that's why they're moving where they're moving.
Can I make one other plug? MLS attendance went over 20,000 on average this year, the highest it's ever been.
Good.
So, I mean, they're moving to where they should be.
Possible.
That was that held 55
right.
or 60,000.
You're never going to get that for
it
soccer.
It was a bad idea from the start.
Right. I will bring
and some. Everybody said it was a bad idea, including the players.
Yes.
And it was a bad idea.
Right.
So the fact that they're not there anymore should make everyone happy. And it's not like, oh man, that's the wrecking ball is going in RFK in the morning. No, right. It's not the purple line's not going through RFK.
And I do think it's possible to have your position without being disrespectful to the United. I mean, it's like, they're not mutually inclusive. Right. I mean,
it's a football stadium.
It's a football stadium.
I mean, I've been there since the Redskins left. I'm trying to think, maybe 6 or 8 times between United games, which I've been to, concerts which have occurred there.
Yeah.
There have been events.
They're not closing, are they? I just want to make sure.
Say there are going to be some events there, but they haven't scheduled
it. There's been talk over the years
about the Redskins.
About the Redskins, about doing some mixed-use development.
And just for the record, if you lived in this town in the 80s and you got a chance to go.
Fantastic.
Did you ever get the chance to do that, Chris?
Great.
It's literally one of the greatest experiences you could ever have.
And you could get there.
Yeah, you could get there.
You could get there. Yeah. There were a variety of ways of getting there. Yeah. You could get there.
It really was terrific.
So unless you tell me it's closed, it's shuttered.
It's essentially shuttered, but it's not officially. I mean, I think unless they can come up with some new plan.
Are they going to have monster truck events there? Are they going to have concerts there? Are they going to have anything there?
Again, they say, but there's nothing scheduled. So
okay. It
seems to be pie in the sky right now for them.
Monster trucks begin.
And speaking of pie in the sky.
By the way, one of the reasons I think that they could build a stadium there, which everybody in the area would be happy with.
Absolutely.
Is that the court that ruled, the trademark court that ruled that the Washington Redskins name is a legal name, ends all that.
Yep.
Ends all the political drama of saying what I believed in, which is you got to change the name. But people like me, there is not a legal basis to do this on anymore. And so a governor or a mayor, you know, could say, welcome. We'd like you here and we'll take the name.
Absolutely. So. I know you're not a fan of the Purple Line. It's been well documented.
I'm not.
Or would you be a fan of the Hyperloop?
Oh,
this is Elon Musk, right?
You're not getting in that, are you?
This is underground,
like
29 minutes, baby.
Is there a first class?
Vacuum tube, like making a deposit at the bank in the old days.
Like Jeff says, he says that he wants to build a route.
How can this be true?
He wants to build a route from D.C. to New York, and you know what the travel time would be?
Half hour.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
But aren't you sucked out of your skin?
So what?
Well, they tested
first. I mean, how can that happen?
We don't know.
This is a guy that builds rockets and electric cars.
You're not going to have to be the test subject. We'll get some schmo off the street.
Yeah, right. They'll work it out
for us. Once it's ready to go, someone like you would be able to take
it. He's now building, he's been given conditional approval to begin the construction of a tunnel from Baltimore.
Would you have to pay extra for Hyperloop assist?
Well, that's still to be determined. But the best part about this is there's no government funding, and this is all privately funded.
Is it a train? Is it a train?
No, it's like
a pneumatic tube.
Yeah, it's a pneumatic tube. You go in
it's actually a pneumatic tube.
And I don't have the numbers.
How could it not suck your skin right off your body?
That's for the test subject to worry about.
You're in like a capsule. And apparently, I don't have the exact numbers, but looks like it's
going to be. How much does it cost?
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Each trip?
Well. Oh, I thought you meant to construct.
Tens of thousands.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
It's gotta cost more than that.
I don't know.
How much does a Tesla cost?
$100,000.
Well, so it'll be $100,000 per trip.
No problem.
Will they have wine?
That would be nice.
Well, let me turn the question around on you.
How much wine could you drink?
Would you pay to be able to get there safely and comfortably in 30 minutes?
It's not important. At my age, it's not that important to me.
You could argue time is the most important thing to you at your age.
Not to go to New York. I don't care to go to New York.
If you could go to New York in 30 minutes, would you go there more often?
I think most people...
If I wasn't in the air.
If you could get there twice as fast... I mean, for twice as much as whatever the fastest route is now, I think people would easily have to
Wouldn't that be $700 or $800?
But the Concorde offered that and ultimately was not particularly successful. I mean, yes, but it was half the time.
It was half.
If you were like
half the time,
hey, would you like to go see the Yankees?
Hours.
Game time's in an hour and a half. Oh yeah, sure. Let's get up in the 30 minutes.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh my God,
I don't even
go to Mazza Gallery for screenings.
Right,
I won.
And it's literally
it's across the street.
The street.
You could walk there
if you could. You could win the online Hamilton lottery in the morning and say, "Oh great, we can make the matinee.
Exactly.
Let's go." You know, I mean,
you love that
cool.
kind of spontaneity.
This is going to...
Yeah. You could go up for a slice of pizza. New York-style pizza at that.
There is no New York-style pizza.
Well, when you
that's
get
just
it...
That's just pizza.
Beg to differ. Trump loves La Familia pizza. That's very, very traditional New York.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You don't remember when he and Sarah Palin enjoyed a slice of
Michael Scott.
La Familia? It's like a chain that there's a million
of.
Yeah,
it's like Sparrow.
And that's where he took her.
Oh, boy.
Sarah Palin throwback.
We're getting out of here.
Pence
we're
going to
come back with Old Guy Radio. We will discuss Dusty Baker, among other things, in Old Guy Radio. Discuss among ourselves. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad, and it is scaled back. This
male or female?
This appears to be male, but I don't know.
I like to brace myself.
MeUndies makes feel-good undies that your body, I'm saying your body, it's a B word, will be proud to wear. They'll be the most comfortable pair of underwear you'll ever own, and to check it out yourself, go to MeUndies.com/Tony K. With tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies, they should say men and women, I think MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they use a naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. And for a limited time only, you can check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print, Lights Out. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? And if underwear isn't your thing, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. Michael, we need to get the socks. It says to share a story about your own MeUndies. Here's the story. I want the socks.
The end.
The end. To get 20% off the best and softest underwear and socks you will ever own, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, which sounds good, go to MeUndies.com/Tony K. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Dion. Why are we playing this? Besides the fact that it's great.
It hit number one on this day in 1961.
So that's 56 years ago.
That's right.
56 years ago. Now, Dion started, in terms of critical commentary, Dion started as Dion of Dion and the Belmonts.
From Belmont Avenue.
Belmont Avenue in the Bronx. And then later in his life, it was revealed that his last name was DiMucci. And he became Dion DiMucci, and he did that song, Abraham, Martin, and John, which everybody bleeds for and thinks it's a fabulous song. It's, you know,
it's all right.
The early part of Dion's career is the best part of Dion's career. This is not an argument. You can argue the Marvin Gaye parts of his career. You can say the second half is better than the first half. You can do that. You can't do that with Dion. Dion, the first half is better.
Yeah,
you fantastic.
This, the wonder of wonders, lovers you wonder.
Yeah.
It's all just fantastic. Yeah. They never knew.
I wonder why with Dion and the Belmonts.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's a great song. They never knew if this song was about. Because Dion had a wife named Susan.
Uh-huh.
She never knew. There were stories that this song was about her. And then he's like, no, it wasn't. But it may have actually been written about her. She may have had a wandering eye back in the day.
It's possible. So all right, a couple of things to get to before we get to Dusty Baker. One is, again, Jeff Ma went 3-1 and held the lead with the Giants and the points into the fourth quarter against Seattle. He was correct on Texas, Oklahoma State. He picked the Browns and won the game. What was the other one that he picked and he won?
Bears?
Chicago,
yeah, he picked the
Carolina.
Bears, and they didn't just cover.
So
they went outright, even though their quarterback threw 7 times, even though they only ran 33 plays.
Notably, he had a 7-point underdog in Texas who was within a play of winning outright.
Yes.
Chicago, a 3-point dog who did win outright. Cleveland, 5.5-point dog, lost an OT, chance to win outright.
Yeah.
And the Giants didn't.
And, they were doing well. So I played golf twice with Kip Schmiemann over the weekend. Had a really good time. I'll go into that in a second. And I said, Jeff Ma. And he said, Jeff Ma.
Eh.
And I said, well, here are his games. He goes, I've got all those games. I said, well, if you've got all those games, how do you say to Jeff Ma? Because he's picking the same games you're picking. That stumped Kevin at that point.
Right.
And so we ended
Logic.
That conversation. So Kevin, the first time we played was Saturday.
Jim from Annandale, go ahead.
Kevin had a very, very good partner.
What's
on
he up
Saturday.
To? Is he still doing that silly, he does that little show?
On cool.
It's cute. Yeah.
No,
that's
I don't think that's on.
So Kevin had a very good partner on Saturday and won $10. His partner was Michael.
Okay.
Oh.
You know.
You Gary, did you play?
I was terrible.
I did, yeah.
Okay. We get off to a slow start through 5. I'm a few over. Kevin just immediately turns to Dan and goes, we're pressing.
Right.
Kevin wins number 6. I birdie 7-8. Kevin is jumping to the 9th tee, pumped that we won both ways, reminding Tony what it's
right.
like.
He loves to gamble.
Who were you dragging down?
Christopher okay. Chappell, who's a good player.
Yeah, great player.
You know,
Chris.
And a great guy to play with.
Yes.
Chris CC.
I don't know. I had the clubs.
So then yesterday, I played with Kevin, and I shot like 52 on the front. This is really bad. 52 is really bad on the front, and Kevin was good. So we were still in it. We were in it. We played against Christopher Chappell and Nick Pappas. By the back, I got better. And on the last hole, where there was like 3 different presses in play, on the last hole, Kevin hit a monster. It's about a, it played about 420 yesterday because the wind was against us. Kevin hit a monstrous shot, his second shot to the back of the green, parred the hole, and we won all ways.
Nice.
So that was very, very good.
And Kip can keep all of the bets straight in his head. He never needs to write anything down.
He loves to gamble.
People who gamble don't like good to write it down. You don't want the slips.
Right.
So you have to. You got to juggle.
No evidence.
You've got to juggle everything in your head. So there was. So my weekend was a wash. Kevin won both ways. Now, Michael, you and Gary are going out today. What is to explain this thing?
Today we are playing Whiskey Creek. It's a it is a flying dog. Gary, how would you describe it? It's a shamble.
It's a two man shamble. Is what it is. What it's called? I'm not.
You play your own.
We
ball
play
after,
this in the spring.
You play your own ball after the tee shot.
After the tee shot, you play your own ball.
I think that's right. In two man teams,
we played this event last spring.
How'd you do?
We were right in the middle of the pack. I think you need to go at least 10 under to have a shot.
We were last spring in the same foursome, but on different teams, Michael and I. So this, and actually, the way.
Do you get all your strokes? Do you get strokes?
There's no strokes.
I don't think so.
No strokes! What are you going to contribute?
Well, he gets to play for my drive, hopefully.
I think it's a. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the form. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's sponsored by Flying Dog Brewery, so forgive me for not remembering every single detail about
come
it.
Come on.
They have, like, the chefs there at Whiskey Creek have, like, go into the woods and forage wild acorns and craft them into things that they pair with beers and stuff.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll definitely
be
fun.
And it's not supposed to rain. It'll be cloudy, but warm and
correct. We lucked out weather-wise. And one I want to say, is it Scott Winsome? One of the gentlemen up at Whiskey Creek I know is a big fan and listener of the show. That he will have heard this one.
I like Whiskey Creek.
Yeah, it's a fun course.
They got a fabulous downhill par 5 that goes through an old abandoned building.
Yeah,
it's really,
really,
really
neat.
Good.
Number 9, I think.
The other thing to mention, when Jeannie gets here this week, the David Letterman.
Yes.
The David Letterman thing was, Jeannie went to it last night. It really sounded, from what I read, it really sounded wonderful. There was a very good piece that I will commend. I don't know who this person is. I've never heard of him before. He got a byline in today as well. Jeff Edgers.
I don't know.
Jeff Edgers wrote a piece in the Sunday Post on David Letterman that was terrific and covered this event. I like David Letterman. Think he's a genius. Very thrilled. Both Mike and I are very thrilled that he watches PTI on a regular basis. And so that looked like a wonderful event.
Oh, interesting. He is one of the many people. I don't know him, but he appears to be one of the many people that Marty Baron hired from the Boston Globe.
He wrote a very good story. Wrote a very long feature on David Letterman, concentrating on his relationship with his son, and he brings his son to everything, his son Harry. And it's really, you know, it was a good piece. David Letterman, I've met him once or twice. Very, very pleasant. Weird looking now, but very, very pleasant and really smart. Genius. Okay.
Yeah.
So let us get to what we didn't get to, which was on Friday.
Right after we finished.
Yes, yeah. Friday.
On Friday in the afternoon, the Nats fired Dusty Baker. I believe I had said...
Is fired the right term?
Well, they
didn't renew him.
They didn't renew him. They let his contract... His contract was in lapse, and they said, we're moving on. And they wrote a very nice note about it. I had said after the last game that if you wanted an excuse, you wanted cover to fire Dusty Baker, you could. I think it was a tough call. I think I would have done it, but you didn't have to do it. He was liked very much by the players. He was liked very much by fans. He delivered in the regular season, albeit in a terribly weak division, but he won 2 division championships and then could not, and neither could Davey Johnson and neither could Matt Williams win a single series, not a single series, in the playoffs, which is why I thought you could do this. My specific problems with Dusty Baker, and I will open it up after this, in the playoffs, were that he had done so well with his bench players all year long because he had to, because his regulars were ill or injured, and yet Defoe didn't even get in, I don't think, to the playoffs.
That's right.
He was on deck circle one time.
And Kendrick, who batted 370 or 380, hardly made a dent in the playoffs, I would have pulled Gio Gonzalez after the first inning and gone right to Tanner Roark. And so I think you could make this move. And what do you guys think about making the move? And more importantly, who are they going to get as Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy enter what could be their last seasons with the team?
Well, I have no idea what the second answer to the second question is.
Yeah.
And I hate to say you're justified in whacking a guy when you don't have a solution, because there's really no point. Doesn't make you better to just. But no one thinks you're going to get better simply by getting rid of them. I mean, there's guys
That's
who
right.
with Matt Williams, you could have made that argument. I agreed with you at the time that I thought it was time to go a different direction. No one would argue that Dusty was not a tremendous ambassador for baseball, great representative of the team. The players loved him.
Yes, and did well.
And did very well in regular seasons. Dusty, in 22 years, finished first 7 times. That's pretty good.
If he had ever won a World Series, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now six of those 7 first-round finishes, they were out in the first round. And that's sort of where the problem comes for me. He won one pennant in 22 years. I mean, I said this last week when we were talking about him before they made the decision. I'm not sure why they waited a week to make the decision. Maybe that's because there was some lack of agreement internally. But you don't pay Dusty to win 95 and 97. Not that anyone could do that. But certainly this year, anyone serviceable is probably going to win that division. You pay him to win in the postseason. And he's just shown that... For whatever reason, that is difficult for him, and unfortunately, he's a victim of the expectations here.
As I told you when we heard about it, I'm in pro firing him, despite the fact he's a wonderful guy. I think the issue is what Wilbon was talking about, not related to the Nationals, but related to college football, which is Dusty is a guy, let's in the realm of college football, who can win you 8, 9, or 10 games almost every year. You're very unlikely to win 3 games. The program's not going to collapse. Players really like him, good club manager, but I just don't think with the level of talent that they have and the window closing, like, let's be honest.
Yep.
I don't know that Bryce is going to re-sign here. You know, I mean,
well,
I would think
Boswell
it would be.
Clearly thinks he won't because he ripped him. He hasn't ripped him in the 5 years he's been here, and he ripped his stats and said, you don't need this guy,
Murphy,
basically.
You know, I mean, so I think it's a win now thing. The thing that it worries me, however, is there's just not the names that I hear out there. I mean, I heard Tony La Russa. I can't imagine he would come do that. And I don't think the Learners would pay him. I mean, you know, there's been manager issues in terms of hiring. They lowballed Bud Black and then went to Dusty. I mean, Dusty was not their first choice. He was
That's right.
there, and they knew he had managed stars before. But, you know, this talk where they're going to get Alex Cora, well, obviously that's
nope.
not happening.
Nope.
So I just don't know who else is out there. I'd prefer someone who's a little bit more number-centric, like less gut-trusting, because Worth should not have been in the fifth game. He just shouldn't. There's no justification. He's terrible in the field. We know that. And he just isn't hitting. To bat him second for the last 2 games, I know he got hits in those games. I just don't think that's the right play.
The most telling piece is when the Cubs coaching staff remarked that they were surprised that Dusty made no big changes to the starting roster in the 5 games. Because even just the ups and downs of a 5-game series, you might want to shake things up more than just putting Worth up to the 2 spot to try and shake him up.
Yeah.
In terms of some people that they might be looking at, you see Dave Martinez, who's been the bench coach with Joe Maddon for a number of years, actually has some Expo ties from being a player about 20 years ago. But you look at the type of personality that they're going to need, and they've tried everything in this 10-year span, and it has not worked. I think the larger issue that I'm seeing with the reporting on this is that too many people are confusing Dusty as the, as Gary would say, the ambassador and the sort of face of baseball and the goodwill personality that he is, the people person, with the in-game manager. If you look at Game 5 alone, the mistakes he made with the double switch that came too late, with the pitching decisions, with not bringing in certain bench players in the right spot. And they're mistaking that with who he is as a person and why players love him, which is easy to do because he's been in the game forever and he really is a pillar of the sport. So where do you go from this? They've already done the Matt Williams. They've had the player first manager. Honestly, I don't know why you want to take this job other than the fact that you have a loaded pitching staff and you have a couple of all-stars in the field, at least for another year with Murphy and Harper. But you look at that and you say, ideally, Dave Martinez might be the best shot. What happens if the Yankees don't get an agreement with Girardi? Is that somewhere you go? There's been good positions open this year, and it's really tough to see why somebody wants to choose this. It's really reminiscent of what's been going on with the football team as to asking the real question, why would you come here?
Does well, you come here, you come here because you've got a fabulous you have so much pitching talent. Staff. And you got talent, and if you win, you can probably name your
Is
number.
Is Harper's status a concern for you, if you're looking at it, in terms of how long you're here or what? I guess, you take them while you can get them, right?
Yeah, you take them the year you can get them, and if Robles is what you think Robles might be, you know, then that works out. Well, I mean, I think when people look at the Redskins, they go, I don't know if I want to work for that upper-level management.
It's not there yet.
I don't think that's here in the Nats, but I don't know.
The baseball people seem to hate the learners.
I don't know why. I mean, I know they don't.
Spend money.
Well,
not on
it's
managers.
The Masson deal.
Deferred money.
It's the Masson. Right, yes, right. It's the Peter Angelos deal.
Well, the thing about baseball, and I think with most sports, is that defense wins championships. And the good news is, I have it on good authority that they are talking to Richie Pettibone to be the new head coach.
That would be
coach.
Great. Yeah. That would
That's
be great.
What about Gibbs?
Well, Gibbs is out there. Yeah.
He's still available.
People love him. He's got name recognition.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Papelbon?
That could work.
I will say that I agree with Gary that if you don't, you didn't have to do this if you don't have somebody else.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Well, also, is that, you know, what is
maybe
it?
They
well,
do.
Well, the Red Sox clearly had Cora. I mean, right? So
maybe
you're getting
they
rid of Farrell.
Do have someone else, and we just don't know it yet. Maybe they do. We'll see. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have the jingle, and we have some email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Send me a big box of that. Tell all of TK Nation, as long as it's free, just send it to me. Some steaks or a box of wine. That's what I dream of.
That wine with the sponsors, that's great wine. That's wine that they came in for us.
Yes.
Send me some tickets to a show for groups from pre-1960. With parking, it's free. Yeah, just send it to me. Life is so easy.
Joe Arrow is fabulous. Yeah. Music and lyrics,
really
Joe
good.
Arrow.
Yeah.
Michael, what is the name of the wine that we're involved with now? It's really
First
good.
Leaf.
It's really good.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I believe I'm done. Joe Arrow will be at Chatter tonight.
Is that right?
Performing?
Yeah. You might be able to give him a mic. I think he's going to watch the Redskins football game. According to Chatter, it's spelled Redskins.
Oh, good.
We got
I love
wrong
that team.
On the website?
Sport.
On the Twitter.
Maybe that's
on
just to be politically correct. And by the way, just to clarify... That what'd you say? First Leaf.
Leaf. Yes.
It's not a vineyard, right? It's a the way it works.
Purveyor.
Is they send, it's a purveyor, and they send you.
Right.
And,
oh,
and
they send you a
taste,
bunch of different wines.
They hone in
the three
on your
that
taste,
they sent me
so.
It's
were
like
all great.
Blue Apron for wine.
They were all
sort
great.
Of. I mean, you don't
have to make
it.
Your own.
You don't have
though.
To. You're not a vintner.
Before we get into
job.
The mailbag, let me thank Wilbon for coming on the show. Let me thank our sponsors today: MeUndies, ZipRecruiter, and Indochino. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Tony Kornheiser's Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Andy Poley is going to do his show.
Andy Poley.
Bobby Snyder is here, so Andy does his show, what, around noon here?
Yeah, I think he can see it at 11, from 11
so
to 1.
You can come.
Andy
Poley.
Lunch.
Yes, you can come
fine.
Here and have
Andy
lunch.
Andy Poley.
From Adam Gutteridge in Carlsbad, California, as a West Coast transplant, I can attest to the superiority of televised sports 3 hours earlier. Watching DVR'd events is an anathema to many, but fast-forwarding through the commercials is a dream if done correctly. This is where the Hallmark Channel comes in. The final step in setting the DVR is to switch to the Hallmark Channel prior to turning off the TV, so that when you turn it back on after the kids are in bed and you are ready for the game, you don't see the score on the bottom line. No, you simply catch a scene from a harvest wedding as you search the DVR for the NLCS. From Rick Schrupp. Hey, Grandpa. I believe the hotel you're referencing from your Monday Night Football days would be the Graves Hotel. Yes, not the Grand Hotel, the Graves Hotel.
That was in Minneapolis.
A name
yeah.
that, yes, must have felt a little weird considering your chronological age as you're pretty close to the grave.
Yeah.
How on earth did you not boycott that place on name alone? And he said, go ahead and say my name on the air. I will tell my girlfriend about the shout-out, to which she will continue to go about her day like I never said anything. From Corey Stuck in Richmond, Virginia, on Friday's show, Dear Mr. Dr. Grandpa, on Friday's show, the conversation about potato chips in Kansas City came up. My interest was immediately piqued because growing up, I would visit my family in Kansas, and we loved the potato chips. We would bring many bags back to Texas with us. After asking my mother, she informed me they were, in fact, Guy's potato chips. If I had a box of those, I would send you half a box because I'd eat the other half myself. Thank you for years of entertainment. Your kind well wishes when we visited Chatter in August. We were pleasantly surprised by a pop-up show that happened to fall on that day. I couldn't have been more encouraged by your kind words than the This Bracket Stinks glass you gave to me and my wife. We recently moved back to the U.S. from London, where I proudly exhibited the TK Show magnet on my car for nearly 5 years. I received a few salutes, however, and I don't think it was because of the magnet. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia, I know you have some angst about making drinks in your upcoming guest bartending appearance, which is tonight.
Mojito
As in
night.
Most situations, rather than worry, you should follow Bill Murray's lead. A few years ago, he decided he wanted to be a guest bartender. He simply walked behind the bar and began taking orders. His approach to bartending was a bit off, though, as he would ask what you wanted, say no problem, then just pour you a shot of tequila and move on to the next customer. Bud Light, okay, shot of tequila. Rum and Coke, okay, shot of tequila. Everyone got shots of tequila. No one complained about the bartending. P.S. On Friday's show, you said Sean McDonough should have gone to Olympia Fields writing down Wilbon's name to get everything for free. Do you think the Littles could get away with this, too? No.
Two words to help you with bartending tonight. Say when.
Say when.
Customers love that when the bartender asks.
David Lombardo in Saratoga Springs, which I assume is in New York. Last week you said you were light on emails. I hope this helps. P.S. I just moved into a new house with a woman I'll be related to by marriage, and I don't know what any of them do. I would be surprised if they turned out to be serial killers.
Oh, good update.
The Green Funeral Home is on Franklin Street in Alexandria, Virginia. This is sent to me by Ed O'Connell in Bethesda. Do you see any irony in a funeral home having prominent Halloween decorations? I can't imagine extending my condolence skull, skeletons, and of course, Frankenstein. One wonders what Green Funeral does after holidays like Yom Kippur, Veterans Day, and Memorial Day. Yes, they have.
So sorry for your loss.
That is very weird.
Brian Weiss, I'm a loyal little living in the Bay Area. I grew up in D.C. My mom, Barbara, never missed your show, first on the radio, then the podcast. She died suddenly on Friday at the age of 84. I'm in town for a funeral to be held on Monday. That's today. I hope to come to Chatter Tuesday morning for breakfast to represent my mom during your podcast. That would be great.
That's nice. Yes, we'd love
from
that.
Robbie Bowles. I'm Robbie Bowles from Vail, Colorado, and a recent graduate of Wheaton College. At Wheaton, I was on the golf team and a regular caddy at the Chicago Golf Club. On Friday's show, you talked about Chicago Golf Club and all the history that comes along with that place. My two highlights at Chicago are caddying in the group ahead of Brian Urlacher, the bald Brian Urlacher, and Larry Fitzgerald. As you know, Fitzgerald's a very avid golfer and bomber of the ball. I believe he shot 74 that day. Nice. My other highlight was shooting 69 with an eagle on the 16th hole on my last round before graduating. On Mondays, the course is closed, and the caddies and the outside staff get a chance to enjoy that historic place. A classmate of mine is a caddy at Sunset Ridge. Of course, Wilbon plays regularly. He says Wilbon needs to clean up his language and his wedge game. Fabulous.
Wow.
If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, everybody, do wear white.
Where is the cake?
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Younger man, I thought this ride would never end. I love to dance out on the edge. Some said I threw my life away. A little further down the road, I see the reaper leaning on an old fence post, and he just stands there laughing while I fumble on my way. And I live my rock and roll. I never thought about tomorrow or considered a rainy day.
just hope when I'm at my grave someone will remember that I once passed this way. And I live my life at full throttle, drag and sag and dance, laugh my summertime away. With winter knocking at my door, the only thing I'm looking for is just a shade of meaning in between gray.
I'm back and I got